Hello, and welcome to the Dairy Defined podcast. In a podcast last fall, we were discussing the severe drought that had gripped California agriculture. Now we're back, and we're talking about floods that are bringing hardship in the nation's number one dairy-producing state. Joining to tell us more is Corey Vanderham, who with his wife, Jaylene, own and operate Vanderham West Dairy in Corcoran, California. The dairy currently milks 4,500 cows, of which 3,000 are Holsteins and 1,500 are Holstein Jersey crosses. They also farm more than 3,000 acres to supply the dairy with its forage needs. Corey is also an NMPF board member representing California Dairies, Inc. Thanks for joining us, Corey.
Yeah, thanks for the time, guys.
For listeners who aren't experiencing this, let's begin at the beginning. What's happening in Central California and how are you being affected?
You know, we've been going through a drought, obviously, the last year and a half, 2 years. And this year, the Lord's blessed us with plenty of rain and an impressive snowpack up in the Sierras. And that snowpack is melting and coming down. And, you know, from the very beginning, when it got real wild, it was about middle of March. We got some low snow and some rain on top of that. And it all came down the conveyance through the canals. And people to the east of me in the city of Tulare and Tipton, farther north in Visalia and Hanford, a lot of those people were experiencing some flash flood issues, right? There's so much water coming down the canals. The canals couldn't handle it, and it had to go somewhere. So, you know, some producers had water coming through their dairies, had water going through their farmlands and stuff. We experienced that as well. But what we're dealing with now is we have the water that's coming on top of us and it's settling on us and it's just slowly filling up kind of like a bathtub.
So how are you managing your cows through this?
Yeah, so we had to evacuate our dairy, right? So we had to move 4,500 milk cows. We got the evacuation order. We waited a day to kind of see and do our own research on it. And it was time to go. So we made the call at 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, found two places that we could move cows to that I could lease. And then a friend of mine down the road was able to take some cows. So we moved 4,500 milk cows in just under 3 days.
And how far did they have to go?
The farthest north we went was about 45 miles. And then the farthest south we went, well, my brother actually took some cows to Bakersfield. So that's about 60 miles. And then, the other milk cows were about 20 miles to the south and 45 to 60 miles to the north. So we're currently still a little spread out now. Since this happened, I've been able to secure another lease facility. So at least I have control of almost all of my cows. And I'm able to have control of the feed and the milk of my cows. But my brother in Bakersfield still has about 150 head. He took all the dry cows. So he's going to calve them out down there and then put them through his fresh cow program. And then he'll send them to me after they're fresh and ready to go.
That sounds like a management nightmare.
It was quite the ordeal, right? You know, one of the places was a family-owned dairy that we had that was vacant. So I sent a manager there and said, "Hey, bud, good luck. Go figure it out. The cows will be there in 2 hours." So, he did a fantastic job. Got those cows unloaded and milking, and did a great job there. The second place was a place that we had never even been on. I actually did not even see the place. The owner of that dairy had sold his cows in January. I talked to him, and he said, "Hey, just bring them here. We'll help you get it taken care of." So sent another dairy manager up there and said, "Good luck, bud," again, and sent him cows. And I showed up about 24 hours later. I was finally able to make it there once we got all the milk cows moved off the place. And it's been a whirlwind. It's been an emotional roller coaster for sure.
How long do you think you could be in this situation, and how's your family holding up?
Yeah, we'll go with my family first. You know, I would not be able to do this without my wife, Jaylene. She's been the backbone through this whole entire deal, keeping me going, keeping me strong. I got three young kids, Bentley, my daughter's 14, my son Dax is 12, and then Harlow, our youngest, she's 8, going on 18. She's the firecracker of the family. But they were out here helping us move cows too, right? And they're part of it. They come out every weekend anyways and help on the dairy or help on the farming or whatever. So they know what's going on. Before we had to move the cows and we were helping other people build levees and canals and stuff, I went 11 days straight without seeing my wife and my kids, right? Just sleeping at the dairy and sleeping in the pickup, and just, yeah, it was 22, 23 hours a day that we were going. And yeah, without them, I wouldn't be able to do it. Without my cousins showed up on a nightly basis. My two brothers showed up. My stepbrother showed up. I mean, my dad, he's going through it too. And yeah, we're just fighting the fight or whatever, right? But yeah, we definitely have a lot going on, but we're not the only ones, right? There's people that have, you know, stories similar to mine, and there's guys who've lost all of their farm ground. I mean, it's not just me here, right? There's a lot of people in this valley that have been affected, and it's hard to watch and it's hard to see.
How does this end up affecting the state's dairy industry?
Luckily, most of the guys who had the flash floods across the dairy, most of those guys are back on. And they've moved back to their dairies and they're producing on their own ranches and stuff or whatever, right? I'm the only one that's fully evacuated because my dairy will be completely underwater. You know, going forward, yeah, the feed's going to be an issue. There's a lot of farm ground that's underwater that produces wheat silage and corn silage. So that's going to be tough to source out later. You know, there's a lot of almond trees that are underwater, and we feed the almond hulls, which is a byproduct of that. Nobody knows what's going to happen with those trees. I mean, granted, there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres of trees in, but it's all going to eventually play out. So I can't give a full answer on that, on what I think is going to happen, but time's going to tell, right? This is something that we've never had to deal with before.
And this becomes something that you're going to be dealing with for some time. And the question becomes response, you know, state government, local government, federal government, what sort of resources are you seeing and what sort of resources could be helpful?
You know, so what resources have we been seeing? We've been in pretty good contact with our local FSA offices, and working on trying to use programs that they have available. I know that the local Tulare County office has been diligent trying to come up with some new programs to unleash some funding. We've met with Congressman Valadeo and Congressman Duarte, been in contact with Speaker McCarthy about what's going on and stuff. Yeah, have we seen anything on the federal federal side? No, nothing yet. And I know that takes some time. Governor Newsom was in town 2 weeks ago. He toured around and kind of seen everything going on where we're at. And I didn't have the chance to meet with him, but some of the other producers did. And he's very well aware of it. Now, whether they get acting on it, who knows, right? But they're aware of it, and I think they see what this is going to do to our local state economy as well, right? I mean, the Central Valley is a big resource for income for these people with the amount of crops that we produce and stuff, and it's gonna affect them pretty heavy too later on down the road.
Now the snowpack isn't fully thawed yet, so are people worried about people still worried about what may be coming next? It sounds like you're going to have some soggy ground for a while.
Yeah, so to my understanding, right, and there's a lot of numbers floating around, but to my understanding that the snowpack is only about 20% melted, and there's an equivalent of about 46 or 47 inches of rainwater when you do the math equation of snow up in the mountains. So there's a lot more coming. You know, it's going to help because guys are starting to farm corn right now, right? So people will be able to irrigate out of the canals and stuff. But we got a lot of water headed our way, and we're going to be soggy for a long time. I think it's going to be a good year to a year and a half before I actually get back on my facility.
We mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that the last time we've discussed California water issues, we were talking about drought. And now we seem to be looking at a very extreme situation the other direction. What do these immediate crises that California dairy farmers have been facing, what does that say about water management needs in California?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it takes something like this to really open the state controller's eyes, right? We need to do a better job of, you know, building these dams, getting these water storages put in place or whatever. And even, honestly, a lot of the flash flooding issues that happened east of me and Tulare, you know, and Tipton, Hanford and stuff, I think a lot of that could have been solved and could have been cured had we been allowed by our local government, right, had we been allowed to go through there and actually clean up these canals, allow us to go through and get rid of all the brush, allow us to go through and get rid of the dead trees, allow us to maintain these canals and fix these squirrel holes. Like literally a lot of these things broke out because squirrel holes were there, right? The water gets so high, finds that squirrel hole, leaves past resistant, blows out the canal. And next thing you know, the farmer's got 400 acres of beautiful wheat underwater, right? Or 150 acres of pistachios underwater. A lot of this could have been fixed had we been able to maintain and do the right thing and clean up these canals. So the water would been able to flow a lot smoother than what it did.
Sounds like a lot for folks to digest as the waters start to recede.
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, some of it is just common sense, in my opinion, right? But also, I'm a dairyman. I'm not a legislator. But the common sense factor, right, of allowing people to do that, it would have saved a lot of heartache and would have saved a lot of people's family farms for sure.
So how are you gearing up for the long haul?
You know, how am I gearing up for the long haul, right? I'm just putting my trust in God every day, right? Like just asking the Lord every day to show me where he wants me to go, right? I mean, maybe that's not going to be milking the 4,500 cows in Corcoran for a while. We're just kind of taking it day by day, which is actually a nice thing because when we started this deal in the beginning of March, it was literally hour by hour on how we were fighting this water and how we were making these decisions. So going day by day actually kind of makes me feel a little bit better because it gives you some more time. But yeah, going forward, you know, been able to secure some long-term leases on these facilities that I'm renting and leasing, been able to harvest most of my crop that I had planted in Corcoran. We've got 3,000 acres that we farm out there. And I think as of this morning, I'm actually here right now. As of this morning, we've only got about 340 acres that are dry. Everything else is underwater. We were able to harvest a lot of it. But not to the full maturity. We had to take it off early and we lost probably about 600 or 700 acres that went underwater that we weren't able to harvest.
Anything else you'd like to add?
Just for everybody out there, just keep praying to keep everybody safe going through this and to keep plugging on strong as long as we can. You know, this farming community is an amazing community, right? You don't realize how strong this community is and how strong ag is until things get wild like this. And when it got wild, everybody showed up to help. And it was pretty awesome to see how well connected everybody is.
We've been speaking with Corey Vanderham, who with his wife, Jaylene, and his three children, own and operate Vanderham West Dairy, in normal times located in Corcoran, California, currently dispersed to other places. Corey, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you, appreciate it.
To learn more about resources available for California dairy farmers and disaster preparedness and response in general in agriculture, please visit the natural disasters section of our website, nmpf.org. And for more of the Dairy Defined podcast, you can find and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music under the podcast name Dairy Defined. We'll talk again soon.